both a privilege to be here tonight to speak about evangelization. I hope to give you a lot of very practical ideas on how to evangelize and spread the faith. And you know, I just did that little juggling trick for you with those machetes because I do like to try to get people's attention, and especially with the kids. The kids seem to enjoy that a lot. I remember hearing the story about a juggler that was pulled over by a police officer for speeding. And the officer looked in the back of his car and saw these machetes, these knives. And so he says, why are you carrying these dangerous weapons for? And the fellow says, they're not weapons. I'm a juggler, and these are my equipment. And the officer didn't believe him. And so the officer had him stand outside on the side of the road and juggle these machetes, by the side of the road with all these cars going by. As one car went by, the husband turns to his wife and says, honey, remind me never to drink again. I could never pass these new sobriety tests. Well, the topic for tonight is on evangelization. Now, there's a book out that I saw in the bookstore called 50 Ways to Save the Planet. Well, my talk tonight is 50 ways to help save souls. Now, you might think, oh, no, he's going to talk about 50 things. Well, don't worry. I'll be very quick about each of those 50 points. But I am going to give you 50 easy, practical tips on how to evangelize and how to help save souls. These are very practical ways in which we can remind people about God or lead them closer to the church or perhaps influence them in some way to come closer to God. See, evangelization is really us helping the Lord out, because he said, go out into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our Lord wants us to help him in this work of saving souls. Jesus died on the cross for us, but now he wants us to go out and to spread the gospel message to other people. So evangelization is God's work, but it's also our work. So we become partners with God. I love the story of the gardener who had turned a rock pile into the most beautiful garden. And people came from miles around to see this garden. And one day a minister came up to him and says, you know, Mr. Gardener, you and the good Lord have done a tremendous job on this garden. Well, the gardener knew what he was getting at. He knew that he wasn't going to take all the credit for it. So he said, well, you're right. You're right. It is true. The Lord has given the sunshine and the water and the good soil and the miracle of life. But he said, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself. And that's how it is with evangelization. God certainly does his part, but we have to do our part as well. So I want to give you very practical suggestions on how you can evangelize and spread the faith. The first one is that since we're getting close to Christmas pretty soon, the first one is that all the Christmas cards you send, make sure that they're religious Christmas cards, okay? None of the season's greetings. Yeah, that's nice, but if we want to evangelize, one practical way is to use the Knights of Columbus Christmas cards and send those to people with a beautiful picture of the Christ child or the Blessed Mother and some sort of a Christian message. Yeah, the Knights have been very good about trying to promote keeping Christ in Christmas, that Jesus is the reason for the season. So this is very important for us to do. So we as Knights and as members of the church should send religious Christmas cards, Catholic Christmas cards. Number two, every year the post office puts out a beautiful Madonna and Child stamp. Instead of getting Santa Claus or Rudolph, let's make sure we get the ones with the Blessed Mother and the Christ Child. Because if we get those, the post office will continue to print those. And what better way on sending a Christmas card than to use that beautiful stamp of the Madonna and Child? Third, since we're getting near Christmas as well, consider having a nativity scene out in front of your lawn. Because as people are driving by, it reminds them of what Christmas is all about. Just the crash with the Blessed Mother and Joseph and the baby Jesus. As people are driving by, besides seeing the beautiful decorated trees and the lights, maybe having a little, nativity scene can help remind them of Jesus and the real purpose of what Christmas is all about. Also in your home, besides your tree, have a little crash, a little manger scene, It's very good for the kids, the grandkids. Like growing up, besides the Christmas tree, we all always had the beautiful nativity scene as well. It's very good to keep our attention focused on Christ, especially for your kids and your grandkids. Number four is that on your answer machine, before you finish your message, say, you know, thank you for calling and God bless you. See how easy it is just to get that little evangelization in your answer machine message. Doesn't have to be very long, but besides your message, I'm sorry I'm not here at this time, please leave your name and number. Thank you for calling. God bless. God bless you. Number five, consider putting a pro-life bumper sticker on your car. Okay, because everybody reads bumper stickers. What else is there to do when you're stuck in traffic on Route 95? There's nothing else to do except read what's in front of you. It could be a pro-life bumper sticker. It could be a religious bumper sticker. I wouldn't recommend having 20 or 30 on there because then people might look like, might think it's fanatical. But just one, maybe two, good bumper stickers on your car. For example, I have I Love Babies Born and Unborn, or It's a Child, Not a Choice, or If You Can Read This, Your Mother Was Pro-Life. Isn't that good? There's all sorts of good messages we can get across to people, and we don't even have to do much. We just have to put it on the car, and it does the work for us. Some of the good religious ones are, those who wait to seek God in the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. I saw that on the car the other day. Isn't that good? Those who wait to convert usually die at 10:30. The other one I saw the other day was Dr. Kevorkian for White House Physician. So that was interesting. So you know, you might want to consider a religious or a pro-life bumper sticker on your car because people do read them. And I've also noticed that if you have like a good Christian bumper sticker on your car, you have to drive nicer. Did you know that? Because you don't want to give bad example. Like if you cut somebody off in traffic and they say, oh, look at that Christian cutting me off in traffic. So it does give a greater responsibility. We have to be nicer on the road if we have a pro-life bumper sticker on the car. Once I did accidentally cut somebody off, and I was thinking, oh, no, this is so bad. So when I caught up to him, I rolled down my window. We were at a red light, and I said, I'm really sorry about that for cutting you off. He says, oh, okay, so, no problem. So it does make us more conscious on being good drivers. Number six, you might want to consider on your license plate having a little verse from Scripture, because you can get these personalized license plates. Mine says John chapter 6, which is a very important chapter in the Bible about the Eucharist, about Jesus saying he's the bread of life. It just says JNCH6. I've had people say, what does that stand for? Join Channel 6? So I've had to, but it gives me a chance to explain about the Eucharist, about the real presence. It's a way to evangelize. One of my good priest friends has Get to Heaven, G-E-T, letter 2, H-V-N, Get to Heaven. That's better than the other one of Go to, you know. somebody I know has Psalm 23, license plate, Psalm 23. Others have Luke 1:47, like the Annunciation. So consider it. You know, maybe pick out a favorite passage of Scripture and just put those verses on there because I guarantee it, people might think, well, what, John chapter 6, and they might go back to the Bible and look it up. Number 7, it said every Catholic, every Christian should wear something Catholic. And it could be just a little cross. It could be a little crucifix. It could be a little miraculous medal. It doesn't have to be a lot of things. It could be just your Knights of Columbus pin. Because people say, what is that? And then you can explain about the work of the Knights and about the church. Others might have the little precious feet. Have you seen that? Showing the development of the unborn child. A friend of mine was wearing it the other day, and a foot doctor came up and says, oh, he gave him a big hug because he thought he was advertising, you know, foot doctors. But it gave him the opportunity to talk about pro-life and talk about respect for life. My last parish, we had perpetual adoration. And so we had the beautiful monstrance, a little pin of the Eucharist. And people would wear these, and at the supermarkets, people would say, what is that? And then we would tell them about our Adoration Chapel and encourage them to come up and make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. So wear something Catholic, a little pin, a little medal, a little cross, not too much. You know, sometimes you'll see people wearing, you know, 50 medals, you know. They set off the metal detectors at the airport. I wouldn't recommend wearing that many. You know, if they go near water, they might fall into a lake and drown. But maybe they'll go straight to heaven if they drown because of all those medals. But I'd recommend not wearing a lot of them, but just maybe one to show people that you believe in Jesus and that you're a Christian and a member of the church. Number 8, when you're in a restaurant, say grace at a restaurant and make the sign of the cross. We do this for a few reasons, not to show off or anything like that, because we don't want to make a display of ourselves, but just to thank God for the food that He's given us and to bless the food. And so it doesn't hurt to make a very reverent sign of the cross at a restaurant and ask God to bless the food, because you never know, somebody might notice that and it might remind them of God. It might remind them, yeah, they haven't been to church in a long time, and it might help them to think about God and maybe even come back to church. To make the sign of the cross in a restaurant does require a lot of courage, okay? Unless you're eating at a little greasy diner, then you better bless the food, right? But consider saying grace at a restaurant. It's a good way to evangelize. As you can tell, these are very practical things. I'm not going to talk about a lot of, you know, theology. This is very practical things. Number 9, when you're at a restaurant, and if you know the manager, if you know the waiter, waitress, if they know you're Catholic, leave a big tip, okay? Leave a bigger tip than you would otherwise. Like when I go as a priest, I always leave a bigger tip. Even if it's an extra dollar or two, it's evangelization. Because when they'll think, wow, that priest was nice, or those group of Catholics, those Knights of Columbus were really nice people. Plus, they gave me a big tip. So they're going to look forward to having you come in that restaurant again. I guarantee it, though, if you do the other way and leave a lousy tip, they're not going to look forward to seeing you Catholics again, right? So I encourage you to be generous in giving a good tip to the waiter or waitress. They'll look forward to seeing you, especially if you go, you know, with a priest or sort of as a Catholic group or the Ladies Auxiliary or Knights of Columbus. Be generous. Number 10, when you write a letter, at the top of the letter you can write little letters, JMJ. How many of you used to do that when you were growing up? Remember the nuns used to teach it? Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Just a little tiny JMJ at the top of the page. It reminds you to think about Jesus and Mary and Joseph. But also, somebody might get the letter and think, well, I wonder what that means. And maybe they'll ask you about it. Then you can say, well, this is what the nuns taught me, you know, 30 years ago or however long it was. Also, on the back of an envelope, when you mail it out, you can write a little S-A-G. Who knows what that stands for? S-A-G. St. Anthony Guide. St. Anthony Guide. If you don't want to have the letter lost in the mail, write S-A-G, you know? And, you know, St. Anthony is a great saint, you know, and he helps us to find lost objects. And I read a study in town management that the average person, if they live to be about 60 years of life, will spend 2 years looking for lost objects. Okay? So I can save you 2 years of your life just by having you pray to St. Anthony to find things. So a little JMJ at the top of the page or an SAG on the back of an envelope. You know, somebody might ask you, what does that stand for? Then you can talk about St. Anthony. Number 11, you might want to consider getting a visa which has St. Vincent de Paul on it. Have you seen these? It has a little picture of St. Vincent de Paul. And every time you use it, they give a donation. Maybe it's 1% to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So some of it goes to help the poor. And plus, when the checkout person is looking over the card, they see the little picture of St. Vincent de Paul. There's also a new credit card coming out called a Vitae card, where every time you use it, some of the money goes to good pro-life organizations. So just a recommendation. Number 12 would be you might want to consider getting pro-life checks. You can get these checks which has like a pro-life quote, or it has a little baby on it and a nice quote about the importance of respecting human life. For example, my checks have a little cross on it. Just these little tiny things can help remind people about Jesus. Number 13, you can get little tiny address labels, like return address labels. Some of them have a little picture of the Sacred Heart or a picture of the Immaculate Heart. You can get these for free. Sometimes they send them to you in the mail with already your name and address printed on them. Maybe consider using those, because the postman or the postwoman delivering those will see a little picture of Jesus or the Blessed Mother. That can help, you know, to remind somebody about God. Also, you can get these little Pray the Rosary stickers, and sometimes you can put those on an envelope that goes through the mail. You know, who knows how many people will see that piece of mail from the time it gets picked up at your house to the time it gets, you know, it might be 5 people, it might be 10 people by the time it's through. Number 14, if you go to a picnic, consider wearing a Catholic t-shirt. Have you ever seen these Catholic t-shirts? They're really neat. Some of them have like a little picture of the Eucharist, like the monstrance. Some of it will have like a shirt that will say 5 reasons to be Catholic. Or some of them will have, one of them has like pray the rosary every day. One of them was really cute because it said, call home, you know, talk to the Blessed Mother, pray the rosary every day. The Blessed Mother hasn't heard from you in decades. I thought that was pretty cute. Next, number 15, always carry with you a couple extra miraculous medals. And you might be able to give them out to people. For example, Mother Teresa, wherever she goes, wherever she went, always had a few extra miraculous medals. And she would just give them to a person and explain it. And when you give a medal, since it's a blessed sacramental, you do need to explain at least a little bit about it, that it is blessed, and treat it with respect. But over the course of the years, I've probably given out 5,000 to 10,000 miraculous medals. Once when I was in Front Royal, I was the deacon in Winchester, so every week I would go down to Golden Corral. And every week, when I had a waiter or waitress, I would give them a miraculous medal and explain it to them. I'd go week after week, and I probably had about 10 to 12 waiters and waitresses all wearing the miraculous medal. I'd have them come out and say, Father or Deacon, the new cook back there wants a medal. And so I'd have to give a medal. They would take it back to the cook. Whenever a new waiter or waitress came, they always made sure they got a medal. And so the miraculous medal really is a great sacramental, and it can bring about conversions and returns to the sacraments. Number 16, whenever you drive past the Catholic Church, make the sign of the cross. Remember that? Remember being taught that? Because Jesus is present in the tabernacle. And so when you drive by a church, you can make an act of love and say a little prayer like, Jesus, I love you, or may the Eucharistic heart be praised. Also, when you're going past the cemetery, say a little prayer for the souls that, for the people and their souls that are buried there. Because maybe there, somebody might be in purgatory, and you're driving by a Catholic cemetery or even a regular cemetery, and you saying a prayer for all those that are buried there might help a soul go from purgatory into heaven. Number 17, whenever you're done with your old Catholic newspapers or Catholic Digest or periodicals, don't throw them out. Instead, maybe take them to a nursing home or to a hospital and leave them with them. And oftentimes they'll give these to the patients, and so that you can not, it's a shame that such, oftentimes these newspapers are so good, and these Catholic periodicals and magazines are so good, it's a shame to throw them out. It's better if you could pass them on to somebody else. If you ride the metro, well, when you're done, just leave it on the metro. Because the next person coming in might pick it up and read the Arlington Catholic Herald. They might read a good article. Or if you're going to be on the bus, take the newspaper and just, when you're done, leave it on the bus for somebody else to pick up. Number 18, consider getting a statue of the Blessed Mother for your front yard. Okay? Like one of those outdoor statues of the Blessed Mother. It's very nice because it tells people that you're a Christian home and that you're a Catholic home. Number 19, have the Sacred Heart enthroned in your home. How many of you have done that, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart? Okay, it's a ceremony where you get a statue or a picture of Jesus showing his Sacred Heart, and then you invite neighbors and relatives and friends over, And then you invite a priest, and he's there, and he blesses the house, and they officially enthrone the image of the Sacred Heart in the home and say that this home is dedicated to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is King and Lord of this home. And it's evangelization, because every time somebody comes into your home, they say, wow, this is a home where Jesus Christ reigns as King and Lord. And so it's important that in our Christian homes, the television is not the center of our home. Instead, the Sacred Heart should be the center of our home. The TV should be maybe in a den or a side room, but when people come in, they should be able to recognize this home is a Christian home. And it's evangelization to invite neighbors, relatives, and friends to come to the house blessing and to the enthronement. Number 20, have some good pieces of religious art in the home. Doesn't have to be a whole lot, but maybe have a Last Supper, or maybe have a beautiful Madonna and Child. Because it's important for your kids and grandkids to see these beautiful Catholic pictures. Number 21, when you send somebody a birthday card, why not enclose a little holy card as well? You know, if you enclose a $20 bill to a grandkid, why not enclose a little picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Immaculate Heart of Mary or maybe their patron saint? Like if the kid's name is Bernadette, send them a holy card of St. Bernadette. If the name is Catherine, send a holy card of St. Catherine or St. Elizabeth or St. Francis or St. Dominic. Number 22, if somebody is sick, send them a Mass card. You can have a Mass said for them. That will do a lot of good for their soul. You could also enroll them in a enrollment where they'll be remembered in many Masses. Or you could even write a spiritual bouquet for them. Let's say if somebody's sick, send them a card, a Get Well card, and say, I will offer 3 Masses and 3 rosaries for you and for your special intentions. Number 23, have what I call the bathroom apostolate. This means that in your home, keep, in your guest bathroom, at least keep a religious, maybe Catholic digest in there, okay? Because when people go to your home and use a restroom, why not have something religious? Instead of good housekeeping and all those other things, why not have your Catholic Herald in there? They could just pick it up for a few minutes, and it can remind them maybe that, well, maybe they haven't been to church in a while, or maybe they'll learn something from a little article they would read in just a few minutes. These are just easy ways to evangelize. Number 24, at your place of work, try to have a religious picture if you're allowed. I know some government workers aren't allowed to have religious things, but if you have your own business, then have, besides the pictures of your kids and grandkids, have a picture of Jesus or the Blessed Mother. That way when people come into your office, they'll be reminded that yes, this is a Christian home. Number 25, if possible, if you have your own business, have a priest come and bless it. You can have your business blessed as well. I know some doctors or lawyers that will invite me or other priests to go and bless their place of work. And you can even have the Sacred Heart enthroned in your place of work. A friend of mine is a chiropractor up in Philadelphia. When you go in his office above the desk, besides his diplomas and things, he has a little picture of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. Number 26, if you read a good Catholic book, buy an extra copy of it and give it away. And just give it to somebody. Say, I really like this book. I think you might like it as well. So buy a couple extra copies and give it away. Number 27, if you listen to a good cassette tape, buy an extra copy or some extra copies, like it's a Bishop Sheen tape or a Scott Hahn tape, just give them out to a few people. Number 28, if you watch a good Catholic video, let's say the Song of Bernadette, why don't you buy an extra copy of that and give it to your kids or your grandkids? Or Jesus of Nazareth movie, buy an extra copy and give it to kids or grandkids, or give it to maybe somebody and lend it to them. Number 29, get a copy of Mother Angelica's EWTN schedule. Some churches even put it in their bulletin. What I'd recommend is that if your church doesn't advertise Mother Angelica, you can write to her and she'll send you like 1,000 copies of her monthly program. You can get permission of the priest perhaps, and he can put it in the bulletin so every parishioner will get the schedule. So tell people about Mother Angelica's programs. Also that she has a shortwave program. If you have a friend that moves to England, they can pick up her on shortwave. Number 30, distribute good Catholic literature. Like the Knights of Columbus booklets are excellent to distribute those. For example, they have some on the annulment process. They have some on the sacraments. I guarantee it, your neighbors or people that you work with are falling away from the church, and you giving them a booklet, if it comes up in conversation, can be the key, perhaps, to getting them back in the faith. Number 31, if you find a good Catholic website on the internet, bookmark it and then tell other people about it. Even recommend it to people. Like send somebody an email and say, hey, I just found a really good Catholic website and here's the address. You could also have a religious screensaver. Okay, you can get a screensaver at work or at home which will have like the Sacred Heart of Jesus or angels or something religious. Number 32, when you visit a sick person, like in a hospital or a nursing home, take them something as a gift, like a Bible or the Imitation of Christ or a little holy card or booklet. Give them something, because after you leave, they can then stay there. They're not going there anywhere, perhaps, and they might be able to derive spiritual benefit from a book or a tape or a holy card that you leave with them. Number 33, don't hesitate to give something religious to somebody for Christmas or for a birthday. If so many times we spend all our time at the malls looking for Christmas presents or birthday presents, why not instead go down to the Daughters of St. Paul or to Loving Hearts or to the Catholic Shop or to the Mustard Seed or to the Paschal Lamb and buy something religious and give it to them as a Christmas present or as a birthday present. See, that's evangelization. You can give them something like that. Number 34, if you're a godparent, every year on the baptismal anniversary, give your godchild a religious present. Okay? It's a very good idea. Every year, if you are a godparent, try to remember what was the date of that baptism. And every year, give them a religious gift. It could be a children's Bible. It could be a little crucifix. It could be a children's book, but something to help nurture the faith. Number 35, consider going on a Catholic vacation. This means try to go on a pilgrimage, maybe to the Holy Land, maybe to Rome, maybe to Assisi, or to Fatima, or to Lourdes. Because when you come back, people always say, well, where'd you go on vacation? Then you can show them the pictures, and you can talk to them about these Catholic shrines. Even if you go just to Niagara Falls, on the way up there, you can visit some of these places where the North American martyrs were killed, or Blessed Kateri, or St. Isaac Jogues. Wherever you go, most likely, on vacation, there will be a Catholic shrine in the area that you can visit, and you can include that and incorporate that into your family vacation, perhaps. Number 36, try to get onto good Catholic topics with people. For example, a lot of people don't realize that, for example, in America, there's a lot of Catholic names for cities, like Corpus Christi, Texas, means the body of Christ. Sacramento is named after the Blessed Sacrament. Los Angeles, after Our Lady of the Angels. St. Bernardine, San Francisco, San Diego. You know, if you're getting into a conversation with somebody and they say, oh, I'm going to California, they're going to go to Santa Clara or Santa Barbara, say, I bet you didn't know that was named after a Catholic saint, or St. Louis, or the Virgin Islands. If somebody goes down to the Virgin Islands and they go to St. Lucia or St. Croix or St. Kitts, you know, these are all good Catholic names, and you can get into an interesting conversation with them about these particular saints. Also bring up Bishop Sheen, Mother Teresa, and Pope John Paul II. They're very well-respected and well-loved people among other denominations and other religions. Number 37, if there's a good Catholic TV program on, call 5 people and let them know about it. Let's say there's a good series about the, and make sure it's a good series, not one of the ones that bash the church, but let's say it's going to be very good. Call 5 people and say, hey, on Thursday night, there's going to be a special, and then just let 5 people know about it. Also, there's going to be a lot of, number 38 is promote good Catholic radio. There's going to be a lot more good Catholic radio available in the next couple of years through Catholic Answers and Ignatius Press and other places. When you hear a good Catholic radio program, call 5 people and let them know about it. Number 39, live the liturgical seasons as a Catholic. For example, if it's a feast day like Christmas or Easter or St. Patrick's Day, celebrate that with your kids and grandkids. Like make a special dessert or make an extra big cake. You know, celebrate the feast days. If it's a Friday, it should be a day of penance, and you might want to maybe not eat meat on a Friday or make some other sacrifice. So there are ways that we can celebrate the liturgical year with your kids and grandkids. And for example, if you're at work and your coworkers notice you only eat tuna fish every Friday, that's evangelization, because they'll say, wow, that person really does make a sacrifice every Friday by maybe giving up meat. So these are ways we can evangelize. Number 40, on a saint's day, call somebody who has that saint's name and wish them happy saint's day. For example, October 1st is the feast day of Saint Teresa the Little Flower. Let's say you know somebody named Teresa. Give them a call on Thursday. Say, hey, happy feast day. And that might inspire that person to read more about that particular saint. Next week is feast day of St. Francis, October 4th. If you know somebody named Fran or Francis, give them a call. Wish them happy feast day. Number 41. This one's going to be a little bit harder for some. It's have a large Catholic family. Okay? This is a lot harder than just putting the bumper sticker on your car. But a friend of mine was telling me that he has like 5 kids. And he says it's amazing. Whenever they go to a shopping mall or supermarket, people say, you must be Catholic, you know? And because these days, the only ones having big families are Mormons, Muslims, and Catholics, okay? So just by having a large family of a lot of kids, or encourage your kids to have grandkids, if they do, then that's one way to evangelize. Because I guarantee it, if people see a large family, automatically they think, wow, maybe it's a Catholic family. Number 42, never underestimate the power of example. In the workplace, if you only use good language, if the people never hear you cussing or using God's name in vain, you are evangelizing them. If your neighbors see you go to church every Sunday, Sunday morning, drive off to church, you're evangelizing them. Because they know you're going to church, even though you will stop by Krispy Kreme Donuts afterwards, or you might go by International House of Pancakes, that's fine. But they see you driving off to church, they know you're going to church, so you're evangelizing them. Give good example. Always be honest in business dealings. And never underestimate that one of your best ways to evangelize is the example you set with your neighbors and at work. Number 43, pray for the conversion of souls. Pray because prayers are always heard. Pray for people to come back to the sacraments. Pray for people to come and become members of the church. Number 44, be friendly, be extra kind, be courteous, show good manners, and smile at everybody that you meet. Okay? They're going to think, what's that person up to? They're always so happy. Never underestimate the power of a kind word or a smile in the life of a person. If they think, wow, those Catholics are nice people, they're very friendly people, that can help bring about their conversion. Number 45, support the work of good Catholic organizations like the Knights of Columbus, like the Legion of Mary, like other groups that go out and evangelize and spread the faith. Number 46, try to get good Catholic literature in your parish. Make sure in the back of your church that there's good Catholic literature. It's amazing how many people come to church that don't know much about their faith. But on the way out, if they can pick up a little holy card, a booklet, a guide on how to go to confession, that can help to strengthen their faith. So if you don't right now have a good Catholic literature rack in the back of church, talk to the priest about trying to get that and stock it with good Knights of Columbus literature. Number 47, help your parish get a video library started, a good Catholic video library. My last parish, by the time I left, we had 700 videos in our parish library. We averaged about 100 videos were rented every week. It's only $1 a week, and they can keep it for 7 days. It's better than Blockbuster. It's a better deal you can get from anywhere. You can keep the video for 7 days. You pick it up after Mass one Sunday, drop it off the next Sunday. You can have Bishop Sheen and Mother Teresa, and you can have all these good educational things, the Song of Bernadette, Jesus of Nazareth, and it's a great evangelization tool in parishes. Number 48, go on a retreat and take somebody with you. Okay, if it's a men's retreat, take one of your friends, one of the guys that you work with. Take them along. If you take somebody on a retreat, you're evangelizing them. Number 49, consider taking a person to Mass. Let's say you know of somebody that hasn't gone to church in a long time. Just let them know that you're going to go to the 5:30 Saturday Mass, and would they be interested in coming along? That's evangelizing, bringing somebody to Mass. You might entice them by saying, yeah, we're going to go out for dinner afterwards. Or invite somebody to go to dinner on Saturday night at 7 and say, well, can you join us first for 5:30 Mass, and then we'll go to the restaurant up in Old Town at 7. It's evangelization. And lastly, number 50, try to take a person to confession. When you go to confession on the Saturday afternoon, why not call somebody and say, you know, I'm going to go for confession. Do you want to come? And try to get them to go to confession. It might require giving them a little booklet on how to go, because it might have been a long time for them. But encourage them. Let them know that the church wants them and Jesus wants them to come back to the sacraments and back to confession. So my assignment for all of you is I'm just going to give all of you this little guide to confession. And your assignment from this evangelization meeting is to think of somebody that you can mail it to or give it to. Or I'll even let you leave it on the metro, okay? Or on the bus. It's up to you. But it's a very good guide to confession. So everybody can take one. And then it's your job over the next week to give it out to somebody. You can mail it to somebody. You can even leave it in the bathroom, you know, if you want to, for your husband or wife. You know, but make sure somebody else looks at it. And the other one on confession is this one called Soul Scrubbing. This article is so good, it's gotten people to go back to confession after 20 or 30 years away. Very good article. Soul Scrubbing, Calming the Fears of Confession. The other one is, Why Confess Your Sins to a Priest? So you can send these three articles to somebody that you know that's been away from confession for a long time. If you've been away from confession for a long time, then I'm evangelizing you. And you can read these and come back to confession. So you can send one or all of these articles to somebody. And then, lastly, also, you can each have a copy of this Catholic, very small Catholic newspaper called The Catholic Truth. And in it, it has articles about the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, and it's a way to evangelize. And this one can be left on a bus, on a metro. Maybe you can get permission to have a stack left in the back of church. It's very good. Even the first page tells about somebody that converted from being a Protestant, from being a Mormon, and from being Jewish, and how they all became Catholic. It tells their stories. And then I'll also pass around a list of other interesting cassette tapes. Some of you might be interested in getting some of those. So I thank you so much for your attention, and I hope that you'll at least try to take a few of these. You might not be able to do all 50, I gave you a whole lot of information, a lot of practical tips, but maybe you can at least take one or two of these ideas, maybe three or four of them, and apply them to your daily life. God bless you.